Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
The first one that we talked about is the distraction of broken focus. See, the devil wants to get your attention off of the things of God. Everybody will agree with that because we've all seen that happen. He wants to get your focus off of something that would propel your life, that would make your life go to the next level. He wants you to be distracted by people. People will start making a distraction come in your life, and you'll be, what in the world? What is happening here? You know, that thought process will start happening in people, and then you take that on, and all of a sudden, you're not in the will of God. You're not following the things of God. And we use the story of Peter walking on water, that there was 12 in the boat and only one that got out. And we kind of make the assumption that the other 11 were boat people, and they were sitting here telling Peter what he shouldn't probably be doing. Number three, an offended heart. Offense. I can't tell you the amount of people that have been taken out in my lifetime because they got offended. Most of the time, it's with people in the church, or it's with the decision that people in the church made, even if they don't know who made it, they don't agree with it, and they're out. Well, I'm all right with that to a degree if they're going against the word, but just a flavor issue, come on, we got to be a little more mature in our Christianity and quit letting things take us out of that's offense. Now, once again, if it's against the word of God, that's something that we taught biblically how we handle. Moving on, number four, being double-minded. We just don't have people that stay the course anymore. As Christians, we need to finish what we start. When God calls us to do something, we need to stay the course and see it through. Number five, time. One of the biggest distractions is time. Galatians 6:9, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. There is a price of time to be paid for any reward. Always know that. Rewards. We had yesterday at CMA, we had an awards presentation or time where we gave awards out. And I was sharing with the kids and I was asking them, the students at CMA, what award? Because I happened to be at the hospital yesterday during the awards ceremony. And so I was asking them this morning in open assembly, seeing who won what award. Well, you know who was raising their hands? The ones who got the award, the reward. I mean, who got the reward? Well, someone who didn't get one didn't raise their hand. And as I was watching, the ones raising their hand were excited about it. They wanted to the rest of them are sitting there, and I'm going, okay, now keep your hands up. Who won the reward? And everybody else is like, come on, quit. This is ridiculous. Shut up. Quit. What? You're making a do. Why were they frustrated? Because they didn't get the reward. Now, I sit there and I said, wait a minute here. They put the time in their area of gifting to get the reward. Not everybody got the same reward. See, some people got the math reward. Some people got an English reward. Some people got a perfect attendance reward. That's a big one. Some people got a reward for art, and some people didn't. I was never the art recipient. I just, that art, I mean, I draw stick figures when we're talking about people. And I have trouble with that. The thing is for all of those rewards that those young people got this morning, they had to put in time. No reward ever comes without time. Now, the other thing that has to be there, there has to be a gifting and a want to. Now, I've been talking a whole lot about having a want to. And it's just, this has been on my heart like nothing else. A want to has two or three requirements. And one of the requirements that a want to has is you have to have a desire. But you also have to have an ability. And if you're wanting to do something, you need to first ask yourself this question. Do you have the ability to do what you're wanting to do? And do you have the desire to see it through? Now, the older you get, you want to be in a job and you want to put your time into something. And the reason why people who say they want a job is because they believe they're going to give the time, they have a desire, and they have an ability. But when one of those starts getting off a little bit, they quit their job. And time stops, and the reward stops. Now, I added one more for adults in there. And so you have time that has to be full of desire and full of ability, but you also then have to add pay in. Because as adults, if we're looking at a job now in that area, can we get the pay we need for what? I mean, there sometimes, really, it'd be nice just to have a job where you would go and not have to think about anything. I worked at Kraft when I was in college, and I would love sometimes just to go back to Kraft and empty the filters that filter the cheese. And when you take them back right before you wash them, you just eat the burnt cheese and enjoy life. Let me just tell you, the pay was there. There was a lot of desire. And there was ability. And sometimes I go, I bet I could get that job back. Now, I'm not putting it down. I'm serious. That wasn't really meant to be funny. The thing is, there was also a thing called a call. And when that call was on my life, that time there was very necessary. Have you talked to God about where you're at and what you're doing? Because sometimes pay will come. See, this time deal, I didn't spend a lot of time on. But that distraction takes people out of where God would have someone in 20 years because they're not willing to put the time in at a job to get to a career or whatever it is. Time's a big deal, and it's one of the biggest distractions. And we get tired of doing what we're gifted to do, what we actually lose our desire to do, or we're not getting paid what we think we ought to be, and then we never get to the right time of the harvest. Are you? Boy, that's just a big deal right there. Then, number 6, comparing yourselves. What a distraction that is. Once again, meeting with the young people this morning. Don't be sitting next to someone who raised their hand telling me what reward they got, and you're frustrated because you didn't get it. They obviously worked, and right here you got to know I'm not ever going to teach everybody gets a trophy. Because not everybody gets a trophy. The ones that work the hardest, put the time in, have a desire and a want to, when they do all of those things, then, but for you to sit there and compare yourself to somebody else who outworked you, maybe next time you just need to work a little harder. Now, for you that's holding the reward and you're looking down on someone who didn't, shame on you. See, we get to this thing where all we're doing is comparing ourselves. 2 Corinthians 10:12. Don't worry. We shouldn't dare say that we're as wonderful as these other men who tell you how important they are. They are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measurement. How ignorant. That's the Bible. If you're using someone else as your standard of where you should be, then you're in for a miserable life. I have watched my whole life. If you're 175 pounds, you're comparing yourself to someone who's 110. I'm not going to use my weight. I'm just talking women now. See, when you're over 200, you're looking at a guy that's under 2. When you're at 200 and none of your business, 200 looks pretty good. See, but we're always comparing ourselves to someone that we're not. Women that have curly hair want straight hair. Women that have straight hair get a curling iron and curl it all the time. Why can't you just wear the hair you got? And if you don't, then get somebody else's, but just be happy. I'm just kidding. Get somebody. Come on, as kids, don't we do this though? We look at someone else who looks nothing like us and we try to look like them. We work on it hard, looking in the mirror and taking that shirt off and flexing those muscles and then looking at Arnold Schwarzenegger. I look just, you don't look nothing like him. Quit comparing yourself to him. Handle what you have and take care of what God has entrusted you with. We get distracted because we're always watching what someone else has, what someone else is wearing, what someone else is driving, what someone else is doing in their recreation time, what someone else's family is, and we're comparing, well, they're just better than I wish my husband would act like that lady's husband does. I wish that my wife would act like that person's wife. And we're on and we're comparing and we're comparing. And I'm telling you, the devil's using that to distract people and taking them away from the kingdom of God right and left. All right, last one tonight. Fear. Matthew 14:25, when the disciples saw Jesus, they were afraid. They were afraid. This is that Jesus coming across the water before Peter says, hey, Jesus, if it's you. What did Jesus say? They're all scared. And in verse 26, he says what? He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't fear. What? Let me just ask this question. How do you do that when you're scared? Does that ever work? Do you ever tell yourself when you're scared, don't be scared? What if what you're scared of is walking across the water and says, hey, don't be scared? Somehow to me, that just kind of adds to it. Don't be afraid. Here's the next question. Did they all just like, okay, we're good now? I don't think that happened. Jesus said, stop being afraid. And you know what? Peter tested the water and conquered his fear. There's a lot to be said that we never teach on this part of the story. But I want to use that tonight because I have heard someone say this phrase, boy, I'd like to do that, but I'm afraid to. I don't know if you've ever heard anybody say that. I'd sure like to go to school, but I'm afraid it wouldn't work out for me. I'm too old, or I don't know if I could. I'd like to start a business, but I'm just afraid it wouldn't work. I'd like to go on a mission trip, but boy, I'm just kind of afraid. And I'm afraid to get involved. What if I fail? I'm afraid. You're going to have to figure out a way to bind your fear if you're going to do anything to get past the distraction of fear. Now, let's just say this. There is an unhealthy fear and there's a healthy fear. And I think everybody knows that. A fear of a poisonous snake will remove you from its presence. That fear is healthy. I'm not talking about that fear. Not walking right. I don't know if you've ever been at a high, you know, like on a cliff and it's 300 and you just kind of lean over and look down in that, you just think about it in your stomach. I mean, I just did, and I mean, I'm 3 foot. I mean, it just grabs you. Well, it don't make you want to jump. It makes you want to go, and you just want to get away from the edge because that's a healthy fear. Have you ever wondered why that, I'm not going to go down this rabbit trail, but really, what causes your stomach to do that? It's weird. It's there for a reason. God put it there to get you back so you don't fall, so you don't mess. That's a healthy fear. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a fear that grips you and keeps you from moving forward into the things that God has. And the devil knows what those fears are, and he throws them in your face. And see, Peter was afraid. There's not a doubt. But he took authority over that fear. Fear will always be a distraction if you're wanting to move towards something that could be a major blessing, and you've got to figure out a way to get past it. Come on, go right back to when you were dating your spouse. We even go back before the date. Come on, guys. Did you not have to conquer a fear? Don't even begin to tell me. No, I knew she'd say yes. No. I'd already heard what she said about me. I had a mountain to climb. She'd already made a statement that got back to me. He thinks too much of himself to ever like me. How am I going to get past that? I really don't. Or I didn't think I did. And I needed her to date me. And how am I going to do this? See, I don't know if you've been, but if you look back, there are times and seasons of life that you had to conquer a fear to get where you are, and you're going to have to conquer more in your life. There'll be more that you have to conquer so that you don't get distracted and not head where God has you heading. Whatever you're facing, a messed up marriage, and you get fearful to try to work on it again. Fear stopped me in my tracks in a messed up marriage because I thought I can never fix what I have ruined. And I kind of thought, I don't know if I can handle in my mind fixing what I thought she had ruined. See, I don't know that we could have worked. We had to conquer some real fear to get our marriage back where it needed to be. Fear haunts the call of God on your life. And you're going to have to decide to conquer that fear. If you live afraid of what's going to happen, you'll never do what God called you to do. You just need to always know that. Fear is a spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God did not give a spirit of fear. Whew. The Bible calls the fear I'm talking about tonight a spirit. God didn't give that. Here's what God gave. God gave power, love, and self-discipline. And those three things, power, love, and self-discipline, are the key to conquering fear. The spirit of fear that's trying to distract you from the things of God, here's how you're going to get past it. And so let's just talk about some things that will help you overcome it. First way to overcome fear is to adopt a correct view of God. If you're worried, fearful, you're despairing, your chances, you're failing to see just how capable and willing that God really is to see you through on his promises. If you're starting to, I just don't know, you think you need to do this, and maybe I do. And God has promises for his people. And when fear keeps you from receiving them, then you need to get a different view of who God is. Consider these truths. God is faithful, and he will always be there for you. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercy never cease. His mercies never cease. Never, never. Go on. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. That's Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. God is all powerful. And God uses that power for your good. Do you believe that? Come on, you're sitting in church tonight. The Bible says he gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. That's Isaiah 40, 29. And then 1 John 4, 18, when we start getting a hold of a correct view of God, then we start seeing his love for us. And that was hard for me. Because growing up, I couldn't get past that everybody called him a loving God, but I didn't deserve his love. And even though I was saved at an early age, it was hard for me to be able to see him looking down on me without saying, come on, quit that. You quit that. You shouldn't do that. Now I'm really disappointed in you. You just did that. Now I don't know why. That's how I always saw God looking at me. And he's all the time just, come on. But that's not the view of God that finally he showed me the more I dove in to his word. He's a loving God. And he's not beating me with this fist. He's rooting me on with it. See, there had to be a different view of God, that he loves me. He cares for me. And when I started getting that, then I got past a fear that was unhealthy. Now, 1 John 4:18 says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love. Now, when you do the wrong thing and you know you got a punishment coming, that's probably a fear that is present because of your wrongdoing. When you do the right thing, love is not interrupted, and you don't walk in a fear of punishment. And see, when I was always down there waiting for God to send his next lightning bolt because I was just messing everything up, it's because I had a wrong heart. But when I got that heart turned around, then I started seeing God as not wanting to punish me. He wanted to love me. And I put my, are you hearing me tonight? I put myself in a different position where I could then receive that, and fear then had to leave. Why? Because I put myself in a position to accept his love. The second thing, we've got to learn to walk in authority like Peter did. We've got to walk in the authority that Christ gave us. James 4:7, submit to God and resist the devil. It doesn't say God's going to cause you to submit and he'll keep the devil from you. I had to get that too. And I still have to think about that. Come on, submit to God, not yourself. Submit to God, not what someone else may have said. Submit to God. Submit to God and resist the devil. You have a part in this. Devil, get behind me. I don't want you messing in my, you got to get away from me. And there are times in my prayer life that I'll start getting my mind all messed up and things will start. Devil, in the name of Jesus, you got to go. See, you have authority by what Jesus did. And you have to walk in some of that to dispel fear and resist that so that you can be headed right. You can get your distraction out of the way. The third one, you need to flee temptation. Every day we are tempted. It's easy to say to flee temptation, but it's another thing to figure out how. And I remember Paul Kern saying something years ago, and it was out of a book he read, and I just think it's a phenomenal thought. And here's what it is. When temptation comes, look at it in your life as just as big an opportunity to do the right thing as it is to do the wrong thing. See, when temptation, I ought to be tempted to do right just as much as I'm tempted to do wrong. But I think a lot of times we only look at temptation as, well, I'm trying to not do this. Well, why don't you try to do this? See, let's get tempted to do the right thing instead of tempted to do, flee temptation. That's how you do it. You be tempted to do the right thing. I have had to leave temptation to do the wrong thing. And what I have, how do you know if you're being tempted? Well, see if there's going to be fruit produced by that. Well, I didn't even know I was being tempted. Look and see if there's going to be fruit in that area. To flee something, to resist something, you're going away from it, not towards it. You're not hanging out with it. When you're hanging with friends that are doing the wrong thing, you're hanging with something, you're not fleeing it. You're hanging with the temptation. So there's got to be a running away from, we got to get away. Don't just run away from something. Let's say it like this. Let's run towards something. There's one thing to run away, but I mean, if you're on a cliff and you're fleeing, I don't want to fall, and you turn around and run that way, and there's another one right here, you're going to fall off that one. Don't just run away from something that's horrible. Run towards something that's good. Flee temptation. The last thing, how you overcome fear is you get knowledgeable. You've heard fear and faith have the same definition. It's the belief in something that you can't see is going to happen. That's fear. Fear is believing something that I can't really see is going to happen to me, because it hasn't happened yet, but you're believing it's going to, so it's causing fear. Well, faith is believing that something you can't see right now is going to happen to you. Well, we get caught up these same definitions for the same. But we have to, in our mind, look at faith different. And we got to get knowledgeable about that. See, the devil wants you to fear, and God wants you to have faith. The devil wants you to fear, so he's going to teach all the horrible things that could happen, or all the fun you could happen, and not the death that's going to happen over here. Let's go do this. Let's go out on Friday night. Let's go do this. And he's going to leave out the driving home with a friend that's intoxicated. See, let's go do this. And so he's making things look good over here. And God's saying, whoa. Has anybody here ever had God just float his word right into your hands? And, oh yeah, I forgot I was supposed to read. I've never had that happen myself. See, faith comes by you doing something. Fear, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything. The devil's going to cause you to be distracted from the things of God by turning you on to something that's going to remove you from God, and your attention's all on something that doesn't need to be. But if you're going to put your attention on the things of God, you got some work to do in this. You got some work to do. It's a lot to do with what you, and you got to get some knowledge. When you start seeing a bigger picture, and this is probably the one thing that I try to do with my staff and with people who are disgruntled or frustrated, I try to get them to see a bigger picture than what they're looking at. Because sometimes when you have a bigger picture, you have a better understanding of why something's being done. And then offense doesn't come, fear doesn't come, like everything's going to fall apart. Understanding comes. The more you start to understand the Word of God, the more that fear dissipates. It just does. Get a bigger picture of the way things operate. Get a bigger picture. We are so finite in our thinking, aren't we? Everything in our life starts and ends. It starts and it ends. It starts and it ends. But God is infinite. He's beyond the start and the end, and He thinks different than we do. But then He says, develop the mind of Christ. That's what we're to be doing. And so if we can start thinking more on an eternity standpoint, then we can deal with the junk that the devil's trying to put in us to distract us from the things of God. Get a better understanding of who He is. In everything you do, there's always a what if. What if? But what if this? What if? You know what? There's also a so what. What if? So what? We'll deal with that when it comes. I'm not going to be fearful. And every time I start going, what if? Now, there's times you need to ask with decisions as you're seeking counsel, as you're trying to figure out where you're going and what's happening. But I'm not going to let fear distract me from God's call. And that's what I'm trying to get you to see tonight. Don't let fear distract you from God's call. There's two groups of people that will hear this message. And number one, the group is, some are on track. You're pursuing God, what He called you to do. And I want to encourage you today, just be aware that the distraction of fear will come up. And when it does, hopefully you've got some tools now to get past that. There's also a second group of people that may be hearing this, and They're on their way somewhere, but they feel like they're sinking right now. And fear of tomorrow and next week's kind of, don't let the devil distract you. He didn't bring you this far to drop you in your life. He's got you. You're just going to submit to Him. He's not gone anywhere. Prayerfully, we covered some areas that may have been distractions, and now will no longer get you. Here's what you got to know. Peter sank. He was walking on water. I get that, but he sank. But Jesus was right there and reached out His hand. The other 11 in the boat, they didn't sink, but they also didn't walk on water. See, you'll have to make a choice. I'm not saying that it won't be tough when you answer God's call. Craft oftentimes still looks good. But I would have been miserable because it wasn't God's call for my life. Now, there's a lot of men that are very good friends of mine that work there. You need to hear what I'm saying. And that was God's call for their life, and they use that as a ministry tool, and praise God for them. So I'm not here. I'm just saying, be where God wants you to be. Don't be miserable because you were fearful to step out of the boat and walk on some water. If God's calling you, He'll have you. And if He's standing, even if you'll make a mistake and turn your eyes off Him, hey, I'm right here. And He grabbed, just stay close enough. See, Peter was way closer than the guys in the boat. Peter was way closer. And I want you to hear that tonight. I want you to hear that tonight. It's just very, very important. Stay focused. Don't listen to boat people. Overcome offense. Get staying on a course. Get past this single-mindedness. Come on, it's going to take some time. You don't get to Florida if you're driving in an hour. It takes some time. You're going to have to stay the course. You have to put in the time. You got to watch out, not compare people and what you're doing, someone taller, someone prettier, someone stronger, someone more qualified. That is not an excuse to keep you from the call of God on your life. And there is always something to be afraid of, but the Bible says, fear not. Did y'all get anything out of this series?
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.